B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Welcome to Checkpoint XP Daily for Monday, October 14th, 2019. Your home for esports and gaming. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, got a question for you. Who would you put on your gaming Mount Rushmore. Plus, our game sizes just completely out of control. Those conversations ahead here today on Checkpoint XP Daily. It's been a rough year for Blizzard, and I'm not just talking about the current problems that they're going through right now with Blitzchung.
It's all bad.
It really has been a tough year for Blizzard.
Yeah, let's rewind the calendar a year, shall we?
Exactly one year.
About a year ago.
About a year to BlizzCon, actually. Because BlizzCon's coming up.
2018, where this kind of rough, 12 months really began, obviously.
It all started with Red Shirt Guy.
No matter...
You're right.
No matter how much they insisted that Diablo 4 was not getting announced, the rumors continued to persist, which... I mean, that in and of itself wasn't the problem.
No.
The problem was they tried then to release a Diablo mobile game. That went over badly.
You know, they should have knew that something bad was starting when no matter how much they said, look, Diablo 4 is not coming.
We have some
Diablo news for you, but it's not 4.
Yeah.
And then we, the fans, are like, oh, it's totally Diablo 4. Oh, it's totally Diablo 4.
This is the part of this whole, sort of dichotomy, this whole saga that I will not wholly fault Blizzard for, okay? I think getting into the mobile market is incredibly intelligent. We know how much money mobile games make.
Sure.
It would be silly for them not to do it, right? And they went out of their way to profusely say,
yeah,
this is not Diablo 4. We're not announcing it. Do not expect this. And it was the fan base that got bent out of shape about it and directed that ire towards Blizzard.
No,
I will not let them own that one.
You're 100% right, Norris. And I don't think, it wasn't a dumb call on Blizzard's part. Like, that was definitely the fandom behaving poorly. But at the same time, if all of the buzz that you're hearing is Diablo 4, Diablo 4, Diablo 4, maybe that's the Diablo mobile is not the thing that you lead with. Maybe you slide that in somewhere, but that's not, like, out of all the announcements they made at BlizzCon, which, Warcraft 3 remaster.
WoW Classic.
Why would you start with Diablo mobile? It was poor planning on their part. So they accept some of the responsibility here.
Whether it's their fault or not, it was the beginning of a terrible year for
them. It was, yes.
So let's fast forward a couple months. We get to the winter of the new year, and we get the Blizzard layoffs.
Yeah.
800 people, over 800 people, let go.
Now, to be fair, on their earnings call, which happened in that same week, they reported a record-breaking year, Joe.
Yeah,
record-breaking.
Yeah, amid record profits, they lay off over 800 employees. And that was that was their second firestorm in 3 months. So... yeah, that was not a good look either.
No, definitely not a good look, and incredibly frustrating for those that, are paying attention, because, Robbie, as you had pointed out, they had brought up record profits in a earnings call just not even a month previous to this.
Yeah, it was bad.
And 800 people losing their job out of the video games industry, that's not nothing. That's not small. That's significant.
Yeah. So let's fast forward a couple more months now. We start getting the reports funneling out that the old guard of Blizzard is starting to be phased out as Activision assumes more control of the company. And of course, while there's nothing inherent about that announcement itself that is a problem, what it signals is not a good sign. A lot of the community were very upset about that.
And one of the big rumors surrounding that as well is that since the Activision merger or Activision Blizzard merger, which granted took place about 10 years ago, that in that time, the finance department has been actually getting bigger and bigger and having more of a seat at the table on deciding what the future of the company looks like.
So again, the money people. Mm-hmm. And we know that Activision has a certain reputation. And
we just need money.
And we also know that Blizzard has had a reputation of not necessarily doing the thing that is most profitable, but making the things that they do become profitable because they're good.
So to that end, around the same time, we start getting reports that the IPs that we all know and love from Blizzard will be releasing on a more frequent basis. Now, normally that's
Which is an Activision move, 110%. Oh, uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Normally, when you look at Blizzard's past, StarCraft Ghost was something that people were hotly anticipating.
Never happened.
But Blizzard at some point realized this is not up to par on what we want to put out, so we'd rather just can the whole thing.
What was the game that ended up becoming Overwatch?
That was called Titans.
Yes, Titans, exactly. Yep. So, you know, Blizzard has this track record of releasing immensely, you know, great quality games. Yep. Like, all of their games have always been up to a certain quality, and now we're getting reports that, oh, we've got an Overwatch 2 due out, when no one can answer why we need an Overwatch 2. Yeah. Overwatch is getting...
We don't need it.
Well, that is the easy answer, but we're getting more and more reports that these are happening, these games are happening, these sequels are happening. And again, for fans of Blizzard as a company, it just seems like These are not moves that Blizzard would make.
Yeah, I mean, in an era where we're getting too many Assassin's Creed games too often, we're getting too much Call of Duty games too often. Yeah, I don't want to hear that the games that I do truly know and love are going to be coming out more frequently, perhaps at the expense of them not being as good.
Right.
So, and now, of course, we move a couple more months ahead to our most recent issues. Blizzard suspending Blitzchung for a year and rescinding all his prize money. That has since been changed.
They walked that back a lot.
Yeah. The ban has now been reduced to 6 months, and his prize money has been restored.
Reinstated.
So I have a question to the table here. Is that if that was the initial punishment, do you think this goes over the same way?
6 month ban, no prize money hit? That is a very difficult question.
Because here's how I feel. And we know that the response even to Blizzard's initial statement walking back the punishment still didn't go over very well.
It didn't sate the critics,
community.
For sure.
It didn't sate the critics.
By the way, for those who don't know, he was punished basically for supporting, voicing his support of the Hong Kong protests currently going on in Hong Kong. He is a Hong Kong resident himself.
And he wore the glasses and the mask. Face respirator on stream. And so as a result, Blizzard punished all involved,
including the casters that
appeared on screen when it happened. But yes, in the resulting week, Blizzard has walked that back, given back his money because they had claimed, you know, said he didn't violate any of the rules. He played fairly and won and earned his money.
Yeah.
And the other part of that is that Blitzchung will be back into Grandmasters. He has not been barred from competing in the league
after his 6 month suspension.
Right. And so I feel, and I understand that people were still upset about the initial reaction, the initial ban and all that stuff, right? But I know this has been a tough year for Blizzard, but I feel if that was the initial punishment, knowing that Tencent owns 5% of Activision, knowing that they have a heavy presence in China, knowing how volatile stuff is in China right now, I feel like if that would have been the punishment, people would have been upset, but I don't think there becomes a boycott Blizzard hashtag.
Mm. I think that over the last year, all these other things that have happened have kind of primed the outrage at Blizzard.
Oh, like a perfect storm type of deal?
I feel like people, like, because we've had some good news coming out of Blizzard more recently, with things like Overwatch League doing well, sure. Call of Duty League getting off the ground, good things. But I feel like there's still a lot of people who've been rubbed the wrong way over the last year, and they were looking for that reason to really pounce. I'm not saying this wasn't an important thing. It was definitely an important thing, and Blizzard definitely overstepped their bounds.
Oh, absolutely.
But there, I think there's also an element of some bad vibes that have come from the what's happened this year really playing into it.
Epic Lurker over in our Twitch chat at twitch.tv/checkpointxp pointing out most people would still rage just the same. They're just raging to rage. And I do agree with him. I think that there is an element of just raging against the machine here and not even really caring what the machine does. I think when companies go out of their way to try to fix mistakes, that they should be recognized and applauded for it.
As opposed to people just yelling, the damage is already done, Blizzard.
Exactly. Yeah. And you know, we had pointed this out when we talked about this last week. We had kind of pointed this out. But, like, free speech is inherently an American concept that is it's a concept that's born out of, you know, our democratic system and the freedoms that we're given in this country to be able to say whatever we want. It does not extend necessarily to a citizen of Hong Kong on an international Twitch stream. And to that point, Blitzchung has come out and said, listen, you guys gotta lay off. I made a decision here.
He said what it could have cost me.
Yes.
Right. He said that he was well aware that he would likely incur a punishment of some kind. He thought the original punishment was a bit harsh, as did everybody else.
Which,
and he says even 6 months is a little harsh in his
opinion.
It is a little harsh.
But here's the thing. When you make statements like this, you make them knowing full well that there could be, and there probably will be, a negative outcome for you personally. And if you're a man of principle, like obviously Blitzchung is, you make the statement anyway. But listen, we want to hear from you. How do you feel about Blizzard's year that they've had? Have they been getting it kind of rough? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily, game sizes are completely out of control. When you need to devote 200 gigs to one game, it has become official. It's out of control. That conversation will wrap up today's Checkpoint XP Daily, but ahead next, got a question for you. If you could pick four games to put on your gaming Mount Rushmore, what games would those be? Stick around. That's ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
So, if you were in charge of making a Mount Rushmore, but with video game titles, who are the four that you would put on the side of a mountain? Welcome back to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on the Hawk 1340 in Wenatchee, Washington, as well as the Fan 97.1 in Columbus, Ohio. Checkpoint XP Daily is now a part of the BPod Network at bpodstudios.com. For more great listening options like Inside the Ropes, a weekly look inside wrestling in the WWE, and Talkin' Rock with Meltdown, an interview and music news podcast, go to bpodstudios.com, the place to be for podcast discovery. So let's imagine a scenario where a government has come to you and said, listen, we love your take on video games so much that we want to create a national monument.
We want to create a disappointing and underwhelming national monument.
That's right. That nobody will go see after the year 1984.
Correct.
I'm for it.
So, the question is, what four video games would you put on that monument?
So, we're specifically talking about games, game titles, not like game characters.
I feel like you have to pick a character from that game.
No, the game.
Because it would just be a bunch of boxes?
No, it's literally the box
character.
No, it's the box art.
You gotta pick a character, and I'm gonna start us off.
No.
Donkey Kong.
Just that game, from, Donkey Kong?
No, Donkey Kong, that would be the character. Because Mario, people would be like, oh, but Mario. But no, Donkey Kong was the game that Mario got his start in. Donkey Kong started it all.
So like the old arcade version of Donkey Kong, not like the N64 version,
nope.
Right?
Okay. Nope, you put his old 8-bit face up there.
All right.
Interesting. Okay. All right. I get what you're getting at. I guess it makes a lot of my games a lot harder to put up since they don't have iconic characters
on them. Just pick one then.
All right. I guess I was going to say from Mass Effect 2, I guess I'll say FemShep.
Oh, what do you mean you guessed? That's the right answer, Joe.
That's iconic.
There's a lot of great characters in Mass Effect 2.
But FemShep
represents everybody.
Boom.
Okay. Fair enough. Norris, how about you?
I don't know. I ain't picking no characters, so I'm just saying the game because I don't really care about what y'all talk about. I'm picking Street Fighter 3 Third Strike.
So Ryu.
No, Ken, because he was better in that game.
Oh, so you did pick, so you did pick a character.
So I'll Ryu.
Yeah, I'll pick Ken. You know what? And I say Third Strike because Third Strike is the highest pinnacle, the most, the best representation of what Street Fighter is supposed to be. It is fluid. It is complex yet simple. It is literally the best wine you ever tasted in fighting game form.
All right, fair enough.
Nate, who's your first character?
How has no one else selected Mario? Like, Mario is the king of every, like, console cycle. There is not a console cycle where his game dragged or was the bad one. Like, Mario is the face of Nintendo, has been since probably 1984. It's a no-brainer. It's got to be Mario.
I'm going through Mario titles in my head trying to think of one where it was
Find a bad one!
Sunshine. That's it.
That's it.
That's the one. It's Sunshine. That's the only one I can think of. All right. So, Robbie, who's your second character?
My second character, I'm going to go with the Master Chief because I feel like it was Halo. Much to Norris's chagrin here, it was Halo that took esports from basements and from dorm rooms to the big time. That was the last game before I think it really... really started to take off.
All right.
I'm going to have to pick one, and I'm going to pick this one through gritted teeth, but I'm going to have to be for real. I'm going to have to say Sephiroth, dog. I'm going to have to say Sephiroth because it is that character
Final Fantasy VII
that really took JRPGs to the next level in the West and really made them a valid genre worldwide. So I'm going to have to say Sephiroth.
All right.
Okay, well, Nate, you took Mario, so I guess I'll go ahead and put Sonic the Hedgehog up there. He single-handedly carried the Genesis for a better part of a decade, and then single-handedly tanked Sonic Team. So, pretty impressive on both fronts, if you're honest.
Yes. So, for my second selection, I've got to go with a personal favorite.
I know it.
It's got to be Metal Gear Solid.
Yep.
Solid Snake. And to be clear, young Solid Snake, even the blocky pixelated version, is better than old Snake.
First of all, that's the best part. Yes. Whoever you pick, their most common incarnation is what's going up there.
Fair enough. So it'll just be a straight slab of rock with a face painted on it.
Well, see, because like Norris, I of course had FF7 on mine as well, but I went with Cloud, and not Cloud from the cutscenes.
No.
Spiky headed Cloud that you run around as.
Yeah.
Right next to 8-bit Donkey Kong.
All right, well, Robbie, right back to you. What's your third pick?
Cloud.
Excuse me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. And this is going to be tough. I'm always thinking about what's going to be my favorite games of all time, but I had to just pick what I think is one of the best games of all time. Influential. I put Captain Price from Modern Warfare on.
All right.
On Mount Rushmore.
That's not bad.
I'm not a big first person shooter fan, but I just can't deny what Modern Warfare did for console shooters and console gaming.
All right, Joe, over to you.
See, I want to put the Nerevarine from Elder Scrolls 3 Morrowind on there, but that's a customizable character. What does it look like?
That's true.
Whatever the sculptor decided to make it look like.
It looks like Missing No or something.
No,
like
just
that.
Make it Vivek.
You just hit random.
Hit
random.
Okay. For sake of something that we can actually all visualize, I'm going to say Sub-Zero from Mortal Kombat.
Okay.
Because that's a pretty iconic character.
All right. Well, I have to go with one of the oldest characters in my fandom. One that I was drawing from when I was like in elementary school. And that's Link from the Legend of Zelda.
Good choice.
Yeah.
Good choice. That's really,
all right. So here's something about the fourth one. Because like the actual Mount Rushmore, which has Lincoln, Jefferson, Washington, and then Teddy Roosevelt, I guess, is okay. Mm-hmm. The fourth one is on there because you want it on there, not necessarily because it's actually deserving of being on a monument. On
okay, see, Cloud actually probably should have been my answer for that one, so I'm going to move him
down. Because that makes sense.
Cloud is worthy of being on there. Are you kidding me?
I think that we absolutely have to have an MMO on there, though, and I think that that World of Warcraft revolutionized the way that we look at MMOs nowadays to where, I mean, that's still how they're making them. So I'm going to have to go with Thrall, I guess. I
You're
going to
put Green Jesus up there?
Yeah, for sure. Wow. For sure.
Norris?
All right. Well, I'm going exactly what Joe said and thinking of something very weird and saying, why did they belong up there? I'm going to pick Zhuge Liang from Dynasty Warriors to put up on my Mount Rushmore.
I'm not going to validate that with an answer.
No! I'm following the directions of the game, all right?
We got 90 seconds. Joe, what about you?
All right. I'm going to go ahead and put Bayonetta on there. Probably the most... it'll be the most photographed person to appear.
It'll be real awkward to carve.
It'll be very awkward to carve and very awkward to take your mom to see it, too.
That's true. That's true. Not exactly a family piece. All right. So for my last one, it's not a character, but it's the armor that they wear. A suit of power armor from Fallout.
Just a whole suit of power.
Just let's immortalize the entire series and get a nice power armor helmet in that Mount Rushmore video game.
And it has to be detachable.
There you go.
You have to be able to actually put it on.
Yeah.
I want to see Bayonetta with power armor helmet on.
All right. Well, listen, we want to hear from you. If you were designing your own monument to video games, a Mount Rushmore for video games, what would you put on there? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter and Checkpoint _XP on Instagram. Coming up next on Checkpoint XP Daily, when a game hits 250 gigs, which is like half the size of my hard drive in my PS4. Have we just gotten to a point where games are bloated beyond functional use? Stick around. That conversation will wrap up today's Checkpoint XP Daily. And is ahead next.
Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
So we can pretty much agree, right, that game sizes are ridiculous and out of control. I mean, they're starting to hit 200 gigs in some cases.
Yeah.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on 92.5 FM Fox News in Jacksonville and ESPN Southwest Florida on 99.3 FM. You've been asking for it, and it's finally here. Checkpoint XP merch is officially available. We've got shirts, hats, hoodies, and mugs for Checkpoint XP, the other identity and low team damage. Plus, we've got a brand new shirt and hoodie that's available for a limited time this fall and holiday season. Starting to get cold out there. Check it out over at checkpointxp.com/shop. The last time I bought a new game and had to download it, it was over 100 gigs. And that is completely unacceptable. If you have no reason to use 4K textures, you know, like if you're not playing your game on a 4K television, should the game really download all those 4K textures as well?
Listen, man, we are starting to see this get completely out of control. I remember back in like the 90s, right? The early 2000s, there was a period of time where you'd see a game where it'd be like, the required hard drive space is 6 gigabytes.
Yeah.
And we all went, you're insane.
Yeah.
I do not have 6 gigabytes free on my hard drive. But then something happened. hard drive space became very ubiquitous.
Yeah.
It suddenly got very cheap to get a lot of hard drive space.
Sure.
And developers started getting real lazy about optimizing.
Optimizing and compressing.
Yeah. And now we're on the other side of that, where despite having seemingly infinite amounts of hard drive space, we're kind of back to where we were before, where it's like, wait, I don't have 200 gigabytes available.
Yep. And that's exactly why this question is ridiculous, because this is the cycle. This will ebb and flow. Pretty soon, hard drive space is going to go right back to being cheap, and you're going to be able to fit whatever you want to fit on it. And on top of that, we are ignoring the advent and potential disruptive technology of cloud gaming.
Yes, we won't ever have to worry about any space once it's all up in the cloud.
Exactly.
I mean, you're right, but for those who are maybe in an area that gets slow internet service, right? Cloud gaming instantly becomes more difficult because you can't maintain a connection to the cloud like those with, you know, high-speed fiber internet might
5G's.
Have.
5Gs!
So There's some technological hurdles that cloud gaming still has to overcome.
Of course.
And it's got to be put out there on the market to understand some of the other limitations they don't know that they're going to have to deal with right now. The bigger issue here is, in Norris, you are exactly 100% right. Hard drives will eventually get bigger. Bigger hard drives will be included with, with systems and consoles. So eventually, you know, consoles coming out with like a 500 gigabyte version and a 1 terabyte version, they'll all just be 4 terabytes, and everyone will be, for the most part, fairly happy. What has also changed in that period of time has been internet service providers commodifying, and sometimes in a very erroneous manner, commodifying your bandwidth and your data consumption. And for parents who are kind of listening and like, what does it matter? Like, what does it matter what size the game is? The kid only plays one game anyway, and it's always Fortnite. but the point is that at some point, this could end up impacting your wallet in unforeseen ways. If you've now suddenly got to pay per gigabyte over 20, and let's say you're downloading Call of Duty Modern Warfare, which is 175 gigs, boy, you're going to be hit with a cable bill that is going to shock you.
Yeah, you will. But at the same time, I also feel like, you know, there are certain users in which this type of situation probably won't ever impact them. By the time that this is going out to the masses, we could be talking about 5G already becoming a thing. And then that becomes the next standard. And whatever was under it becomes substantially cheaper and substantially easier to use.
Do you think that they're not going to bottleneck 5G?
Of course they're going to bottleneck 5G.
They're going to bottleneck the crap out of it.
Of course they're going to bottleneck 5G, just like they did with LTE. But what I'm saying is, it's just like how LTE is now ubiquitous, this is what will happen. It will ebb and flow. People will complain and whine and talk about just how much or just how expensive 5G and internet and all that stuff will be in cloud gaming, because you're right, that is going to be impacting early adopters' bills. You will have a higher bill because you will be hitting your data cap.
Yep.
That is a certainty. I don't think that's a question now. I think it's a certainty. However, I do think that as the technology grows and gets older, that they'll be figuring it out. And then once it's more widely available, you won't have that same issue.
I have a counterpoint to this, because I think that is total nonsense. Just the idea that companies will naturally adopt as we kind of go on. No. The onus on this one falls totally on the developers and the developers of the console. It should be a piecemeal system where you decide what elements you want to download. And if you don't have a 4K TV, well, I don't want to spend, you know, the next 4 days downloading 100 gigs onto my PS4 to use textures that are never going to display on my television. So to me, it makes way more sense to exclude certain parts of the game and allow you to pick which parts of the game you end up downloading, much like Steam does when you buy a game.
Well, I think that's kind of what we talk about with cloud gaming. As much as I think there's a lot of potential there, at the end of the day, if it's a 200 gigabyte game, you eventually still have to stream 200 gigabytes worth of game to your computer, and because it's not locally installed, anytime you replay, you have to get it again.
That is totally different, because what is being streamed to your device is a video feed. It's not the data from the game.
Mm-hmm. Sure, but I mean, you're going to go through I mean, you video are, is not cheap.
Listen, you are going to rack up data, but at a rate that is comparable to Netflix or Hulu or a streaming video service. Not so much, oh, you have to download that data locally. And every time
you play.
Yeah, and if you're playing a 20 terabyte game that eventually you will chew through 20 terabytes, I don't think that you could chew through 20 terabytes no matter if you stream that every moment of every day.
I think you absolutely could. I've gone through roughly that much data watching Netflix and YouTube over the last year.
See, but he's right. We are still talking about whatever that number is now increasing, right? Because if you are a gamer, you're not just playing games. You're also streaming Netflix as well. So while not everyone's going to be affected by it, gamers will be.
Well, and there are different there's different thresholds for upload and download too.
Sure. Yes.
Right? If you're a streamer, you know you end up hitting that data cap way earlier than other people because there's a different number. It's less on the upload side.
For sure.
There's a different number on the upload side than there is on the download side. So, I mean, all of these things are going to have to suss themselves out to make a purchase reasonable for a consumer.
I think it's just, you know, data and stuff like that has been something that has been so streamlined over the course of the last, 10 years. It hasn't been a concern. And I think we're about to see it become a major concern in a really big way again here over the next 5 years. We're going to have to kind of work our way through that.
Absolutely. But listen, we want to hear from you. What's your data cap? If you ever hit it, connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Plus, who likes opening up a game and realizing you have to download stuff for the next 3 days to be able to play it? That's going to be it for Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming and the first internationally syndicated show on esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website, checkpointxp.com, for insight on esports and gaming and a whole bunch of articles right now about Fortnite, as well as a wide collection of podcasts and interviews. Join us Monday through Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern, live at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. Lead segment producing by Joe Sloan. Brand management by Chad Callahan. And, of course, my co-hosts who pull double duty as producers for Checkpoint XP Daily. Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. My name's A. Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.